Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Stevie Nicol here in the studio. What an anti-climax, Stevie. Disappointing.
Disappointing. If it was disappointing, it would have been better.
Well,
what it was.
Well, yeah. So it finishes Manchester City 0, Arsenal 0 in the big game in England. It really was a letdown. No clear chances really for either side. Let's get some reaction, shall we? We'll hear from Arteta in a moment. But first, Manchester City's coach Pep Guardiola was asked, what's the solution to defeating a low block?
Kill someone. Play with nine. So, yeah, they defend well a lot. So, a lot, and to run early, and yeah, be patient and find, you know, the pass precise that when you arrive. They defend really well. Limit accumulation of plays. Defend well, and after with a lot of people.
I think defensively we're outstanding. We had to go and put the pressure higher of the pitch. I think we were really good and created a lot of difficulties. And when they are that good that they get you in this low block and it's very difficult to get out of that, they drop a lot of players, and I think we prevent him the spaces really well. And that's a difficulty. 3 years is the first time they haven't scored at home in 3 years. So that's a real outstanding team that that they are. And then the downside is that we have some big situations to score.
So what does all this mean? Well, it means that Liverpool are loving life. At the moment, they would come from behind to defeat Brighton. They are 2 points clear of Arsenal, 3 clear of Manchester City. We'll talk about the ramifications of this result regarding the title race a little later on. But first, let's welcome in Joey. Nader Manua joins us, Jan-Arge Fjortoft, who was at the game. Steve, I want to start with you. You used the word disappointing. That's exactly what it was from a neutral perspective.
Yeah, and I think that was down to Arsenal. But at the same time, can you blame Arsenal for basically keeping a tight ship? Not really. The fact is, defensively, they were absolutely outstanding, as Arteta said. Unfortunately for them, because they were so deep, whenever they did get the chance to try and get forward, you got 70 yards to go. I mean, that's not easy. And consequently, they really didn't produce too many chances of any real note. They deserve their point for the way they defended. But I guess if you're City, you're disappointed that you couldn't break them down. But the fact is, it's really difficult. You know, when a team that defends as well as Arsenal do are sitting on the edge of the box and there is no space, the only way you break them down is perfection. And today, City couldn't quite hit that height of perfection. Yes, they had plenty of the ball, but the final pass, the final decision, just that last little bit that would have been perfection just wasn't there. And that's why they never really created too many open chances.
What an anti-climax, Jan.
Yeah, it is. And often it is like when you're looking forward to big games like this. I guess it's all about storytelling. We could start by saying Manchester City is the first team who take points of Arsenal in 2024. We can start there. We can say that it's a tactical masterstroke for both of them, cancelling out each other. But for a neutral fan, it was a boring and a dull football game. You showed some of the chances. That was all. Mm. I mean, the Ake chance was the biggest chance that Manchester City had. This is a team that have scored in 57 games in all competitions before this game. But I guess you have to give a big compliment to Arsenal. They seemed a bit more grown up than last season. They did the right thing today. I see someone say, yeah, they put a block out there, and it was 78-22 in terms of possession. But I tell you this, Arsenal did a great job today, kind of doing what they had to do to come there. There were some great performances there with Saliba and Gabriel, of course, at centre-halves. I think Martin Ødegaard worked very, very hard in sometimes just pressing alone. So a big compliment to Arsenal as well, of course.
Yeah, Nathan.
What do you want to say, Dan? Obviously, from a neutral perspective, it wasn't the best of games at all. But I think listening to what Stevie said, listening to what Jan said, and the two managers as well, you could see that defensively Arsenal were very, very solid. But I also, in my opinion, give credit to City, because defensively I thought they were good as well. I think it ended up being one of those games where, in the commentary in England, they were talking in that first half about the attacking play from Ben White, the attacking play from Vardy, or like the attackers from the other sides were being sort of taken out the game as such due to the way that the other sides were playing, and not least of all with Arsenal, because they've had the best defensive record to this point and they defend really well from the front. But every time City would break that press, I think Guardiola said in an interview afterwards, that all of a sudden got dropped back into a low block, drop in there with six players, and the back four was so narrow at times that even, you know, Stevie, I think, hit the nail on the head. To break down teams like that, you need perfection. Maybe you need a worldie from 25 yards out. But for City, that wasn't going to be the case today, unfortunately, for them. But I think Arsenal themselves, I don't think the plan was to have 28% possession or whatever it was. But the fact is, and this is a lesson for probably all players and all teams, some of the most talented attacking players in the game of football have gone to a place like the Etihad and done more defensive work than they've done attacking work because they needed to. And if one of them would have let the side down, then, you know, this title race could have been completely done and dusted for them as such. So it's a shame it was 0-0. But if you watch the previous two games between City and Arsenal this year, is anybody surprised?
Just a little thing I meant to mention. There was 8 centre-backs on the field today.
It's a lot. Mm.
8 centre-backs. Mm. I mean, that's incredible. Yeah. And 4 of these centre-backs were being asked to attack. So I guess we shouldn't be that surprised when we think that neither side could break anybody down, because invariably there was no space in the middle. The ball kept going to the wide areas. Now, let's be honest, you don't want a centre-back on the ball in the wide areas, do you? So is that a surprise?
I suppose, overall, Arsenal, without a doubt, the happier of the two sides here, yeah, Jan?
Yeah, and it was a feeling. I interviewed Martin Ødegaard straight after the game, and I tried to get him out that he will be happy with that point. And he said the proper thing that Arsenal players should say, yeah, but we wanted 3 points. But I saw how they kind of secretly celebrated that point. I think that was very important for them to take that point and not give Manchester City 3 of them. So you could see also from the start, they slowed down the game. They played the ball longer. I think Stevie is making a very good point in terms of the centre halves and the number of them on the pitch. I think for Manchester City, Guardiola played a good game. I think that was his best game for Manchester City. But still, you kind of saw in second half, and especially Manchester City, I mean, somehow they're slowing down the game, and there may be tactical reasons for that. But when a Grealish and Doku comes on the ball, you never see them going in speed one against one. So for Saliba and Gabriel being so good defenders as they are, they can only use the space to defend as well, because there is no space between themselves and the goalkeeper anyway. So there's no place for any of the attackers for Manchester City to go into anyway. But I guess that's what they came to do, and Arsenal succeeded in doing that.
There obviously, the talk between Manchester City fans and Needham is, oh, this is Arsenal, a team that are trying to fight for the title, yet they come to us and they park the bus.
To be honest, I don't think it was Arsenal's intention to park the bus. I think they would have accepted the fact that City would have had possession, but I don't think Arsenal would have wanted to come in with 28%. Otherwise, the personnel probably would have been different. Yes, there were lots of centre-backs on the field, but you still had Odegaard, you had a Jesus, you had a Havertz, you know, you had a Saka. Like, Saka's memory of that game is going to be him mostly just tracking back and then one cross into the box as such. So yeah, I don't think they necessarily parked the bus, but this is Arsenal. Like, they have statistically the best defence this season. The nature of the chances they're giving up are far, like, they're far harder to score against than, say, other sides in the league at this moment in time. And it's because of that high press. It's because of the way the midfield follow up with them. But then in times when they're facing a bit of pressure, the organisation right behind them is great as well. I think City got to sort of face that today. I think in some ways I was happier to see the changes from Guardiola, where he's bringing on a Doku and a Grealish, and they tried to focus a bit more of sort of like pace out wide. I know Jan said it wasn't enough, which is kind of fair, but I think Arsenal ultimately, they accepted this is the way that was going to go, the game was going to go. And I think that idea as well of taking a point, for me, it feels like the City game versus Liverpool a couple of weeks ago. Mm. Going into the game, City would have wanted to win it, but based on how the game went, you're thinking to yourself, let's just be glad that we can take something from this. And I think that was the case for Arsenal today, because if they would have had more possession, more opportunities, I don't think a point in their mind would have been something for them to be proud of.
And Nadim, is there any... You look at that 90 minutes, I understand the way that Arsenal defend, make it very difficult to play the sort of football that Manchester City do. But were you not disappointed there wasn't that little bit of spark from, you know, your match winners like Foden, like De Bruyne, like Haaland, like Silva?
Yeah, I think there was disappointment as such, but again, the first two games between the two sides was very, very similar. I think they have a way of cancelling each other out as such. And in those three matches, we've not really seen a ton of individual brilliance. I'm talking about Community Shield, the game at the Emirates, which Martinelli scored late on in with a deflected shot. And then this one here today. I think Foden playing off the left, I don't think it's his best position. I think at times he can almost become a bit too predictable in terms of how he's going to be approaching the game from that standpoint. And then Silva himself, I think there were times when he would come in and roam. And I think Doku, when he came on, he went past a few people, but it was that final ball. But it was always going to be an issue for them because, as Stevie said, it's perfection that's needed. When you look in the box and you've got a Tomiyasu, you have a Gabriel, you have a Saliba, you've got a Rice waiting in there, you've got a Partey, or previously before that you had a Jorginho. You know, they put bodies in the right areas. They're superbly well drilled. So yes, I was disappointed, but then also to mention, like, I think De Bruyne at this stage right now doesn't seem to me like he's 100% fit. There are elements of the game where he's probably frustrated that his impact isn't as great. But then again, when you play against a side like Arsenal, they won't really allow it to be an end-to-end game. And if you don't manage to get in front of them early doors, you know, they'll park up right in front of you, but then also still have that potential threat behind as well.
You know, I don't think we should underestimate the fact that Arsenal's manager is Arteta. You know, teams have tried to just basically block City off for years. And just that little extra piece of ability or know-how.
Because he's been there.
Well, he's been there and done it. You know, it's one thing to sit and watch videos, and but it's another thing to know what's going on inside the players' heads. Because he knows all the things that Guardiola is wanting them to do. He's constantly at them about little things and do this. And all this movement is all about getting an edge. And so if you've got that sort of knowledge and you've got good defenders like Arsenal have, that is huge. That's the difference between losing a game and getting a point.
Let's talk about Erling Haaland, shall we? Of course, hasn't quite put in the same sort of performances that we saw last season, where he just captured all the headlines. In this game today, clearly cut a frustrated figure for out. Before we hear from Jan, of course, every day after these big games, we have digital features on our ESPN FC YouTube channel. This is what Stuart Robson had to say about Haaland's performance.
I know that Jan Agafjordtoff won't like me saying this, but I'm still very upset with what I see from Erling Haaland. If you want to be the world's best centre forward, you can't just base it on scoring goals. You have to be the all-round player. And when Man City are pressed high up the field and the goalkeeper has to go from back to front, the centre forward has to hold the player. He has to link up the play. And at the moment, I don't see him doing that. So that for me, is a slight weakness in Man City.
Shall I comment on that, Dan?
I would love you to comment on that. Yes, please, Jan.
First of all, let's have the fact clear here. Apparently, he scored 52 goals last year season without touching the ball. So that was a performance, by the way. But I agree that his hold-up play today wasn't good. You've seen when he came back from his injury that he maybe doesn't have the kind of balance in his game, the timing that you need to get into the game. But I think that it's quite simple just to analyse him based on a game like today. He has improved his link-up play, but it's also a fact that his touches, he doesn't have many touches in a game anyway. Listen, this young Norwegian, he got 29 goals this season. He got 18 in the Premier League and so on and so on. And yes, we should compare him with himself last season. But I think that is too simple. His link-up play has been better. It wasn't good today. But we should also give a compliment to Saliba and Gabriel that did a great job on him today. And sometimes I think, and I said that earlier as well, sometimes I don't think Manchester City take the best out of him either, because he need that space, and then you can't just have touches and touches and touches on the left side or on the right side. There is no space to go into.
I think I would prefer my centre-forward to score goals. I'd rather he did that than be the greatest hold-up player, the greatest link player, the greatest layoff player, the greatest this, the greatest court penalty taker, the greatest set piece taker. I want my number 9 to score goals. And it's really hard to argue with the guy who scores goals, because this guy scores goals. And if I'm a coach and I've got a number 9 who scores goals, My job is to get him the ball in areas to score goals.
Exactly.
So I understand what Rob was saying about the hold-up and that and that.
Right.
There's not a team on the planet that wouldn't take this guy as a centre-forward.
Nathan?
No, I was going to say, I think the stuff that the guys are saying is completely fair. And I was, you know, last year listening, every time he, like, didn't score, I said, well, he only had five touches, he only had six touches. Like, 23 touches for Haaland feels like a lot. And I think as you looked at the stats as well, you're looking at six out of eight aerial duels and other things like that. You know, he was engaged in the game and he wasn't the best hold-up play, yes. But he's one of many people we've come up against, those two centre-backs for Arsenal, who are super competitive, aggressive, and have a midfielder that will come right in front of them to try and win the second ball as well. So it wasn't great at all. But then this is kind of the way that sort of City approach things at times. And I'm with Stevie. Like, if the guy's scoring goals and having opportunities, I think that's far more important than being the guy that can link it. Because for the way that they play, he can come and link the play, but they don't have wingers who then sprint in behind into the space like you see with a Liverpool, like you see with an Arsenal. So if he's going to be the focal point, he can be the final stage of that instead of being the piece before, because it will lead to nothing.
Yeah.
Now, it's just interesting, this discussion, because when he scores 52 goals, his link-up play is not good. He doesn't have enough touches. And I think that, like Stevie is saying, every manager will love his... We love your striker to score 52 goals. The thing is that as a striker, you live and die normally from crosses. When you see Manchester City today, and I watched it with Foden coming in, they always come from inside. Grealish, he will do one trick, go to the left, and then he will go right, and then he will kind of bend it in there. That is the worst crosses you can have for a striker. What you want as a striker is early crosses. Get a crosses in, or do you play over the back? And Arsenal did well today, so we shouldn't disrespect Arsenal's performance today, which was brilliant. But this has generally been a problem with Manchester City, where they haven't done the crosses early enough. Stevie played with one of the best in the world, Ian Rush, back in the days. I mean, tell him if there didn't come early crosses, he would probably crucify them by not doing that. He will tell them, get me the ball early in. Don't look for me. Look for the space and get in there. And I'm just waiting. I saw Roy Keane saying that he played like a League Two player. Well. If a League Two player scored 29 goals in a bad season, then I would like to sign that player from the League Two, by the way.
That's quite if we can go down the history books of Roy Keane and that family and Jan Arge Fjortoft, but we won't. I don't think we need to do that particularly now. Jan Arge Fjortoft says that Pep Guardiola doesn't know what he's doing. Meanwhile, Nadim, you take
what
a look.
What are you saying, Dad?
Well, that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing he's not using Haaland in the right way.
No, but it's good. He doesn't know what he's doing. It's fine.
Why have City regressed so much when you take a look at their record against those around them this season, Nathan?
That is quite simple. They're just no good. You know what I mean? It's a miracle they're in charge in this sort of title race at all.
Well, yeah, it's because of the fodder that is below them.
But then I think when I look at that, though, it did make me think, well, I wonder what the record of the other teams is like. And I look at a team like Liverpool, for example, and I'm not sure if their record's that much better. And that sort of makes you sort of see how competitive it is up there. I think Villa have been a bit of a dark horse in terms of getting results against teams. City obviously have blown some of those leads and not won some games which they've sort of been more comfortable in. But I guess that's, as I say, that's the way that it is. As I look at Liverpool, they drew with City twice. You know, they lost to Spurs. They've lost to Arsenal and I think drawn with Arsenal as well. Yet still they are top of the league. So this mini league, it does matter, but isn't necessarily as definitive as at times we try and make it seem. And I'm sure Guardiola will be disappointed. He's lost some key figures across this season in terms of, you know, De Bruyne for that first half of the year, even the likes of Gundogan and Mahrez leaving at the start of the season. But as it stands, they're still in with a chance of getting it done. And if they do manage to get a couple of wins against the Villa, you know, against the Spurs, if something goes their way elsewhere, they could end up being league title winners again.
Liverpool top of the table then after a 2-1 victory against Brighton. They had to get the 3 points, though, from coming from behind. Danny Welbeck would open the scoring early on. Diasso get the equaliser. Then a lovely ball from McAllister would set up Salah for the winner as Liverpool take all 3 points. Stevie, Salah seems to be the player that has you so conflicted the time?
He absolutely drives me insane. I've never seen a player who's so good make so many errors. I mean, it just drives you crazy. There was one in the second half when Elliot, who after he'd come on, was wide on the right, on his own. Salah tried to pass it to him. He skewed it, and it hit the Brighton defender on the knee straight to Elliot.
Yep.
And it just kind of sums up... It just sums him up sometimes.
He had more shots today than he has in any other Liverpool game in the Premier League since he's joined.
But he always does. He always has more shots.
Because it's a record.
Yeah, but no, I don't mean that amount. But he always has shots and he always has loads of touches. And as I said, surprise, surprise, who scores a winning goal? You put your money on him to be the match winner every time. But you'd also put your money on him to be the forward who gives the ball away more times than any other forward. It just drives me insane.
Well, here we go. Crazy. Here we go then. We have a title race and it has changed after today, hasn't it? Because fate is now in Liverpool's hands. They are 2 points clear at the top of the table and the maths for Liverpool is simple. If Jurgen Klopp's side win every single game between now and the end of the season, it's irrelevant what Arsenal or Manchester City do because Klopp's final season will see them Premier League champions. And as a result, they are now title favourites according to the bookies. And you look at that running and you look at Liverpool and you think, OK, that's doable.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, clearly there's a couple of banana skins there. You know, United, we saw what can happen in the FA Cup. Tottenham. I mean, Tottenham on the day can beat anybody. You could also beat them 5-0 though. So they would be the two banana skins that I'm looking at. Villa for me always disappoint when you think they're going to do something.
Right.
But after that, those other games, Wolves, West Ham, Everton, Fulham, Sheffield United, Palace, if you want to win the title, they should all be comfortable victories.
It's brilliant, Jan, isn't it? From just a football fan's point of view, from a neutral side, that it's going to be a title race. It's going to go right down to the line. 9 matches to go, just 3 points separate the top two. But looking at it and look at what happens today, you can see why momentum has shifted to Liverpool.
Yeah, but I think also we talked about that before on the show. It changed also a bit before Christmas when they won all these games where they're not played perfect. They just won at the end, as they did today. Great, great game it was to watch, by the way. They turned it around, being 1-0 down and coming back winning again. But I was just thinking of it. It's a dream come true when you have three teams fighting for the title and how exciting it is at the moment. We've just seen in Germany now how excited we've been for Leverkusen and Bayern doing that. And here you are, three clubs, three great managers, great players, great atmosphere. And I was thinking of it before the game today. We had Arsenal against Manchester City. Yeah, it's a big game, so it would depend on the title. But hey, Liverpool are playing. They're playing before that. Mm. And of course, Arsenal and Pep will look at that game and think, what is going on at Liverpool? And when they're 1-0 down, they think, wow, that is a chance for us. And then they would say, yeah, of course, Salah scored. Of course, Liverpool came back. So at the moment, and I've said this for a while, you've heard that, and I said, there is something around Liverpool. There is a momentum somewhere that things are fitting well for them. And if you see the games they're having, yes, there are some games they can lose. But there are some games that they could... The other teams need to be perfect. Liverpool don't need to be perfect. And that is a small... They can lose 2 or 3 points and still win the league.
Right then, Nadim, with your accountancy background, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Percentage is up for me.
Oh, that's a good one. For the record, I only did 1 year of the accountancy course. It was a 4-year course.
It's 1 year more than anyone has ever done on this show.
Okay, so I will go Liverpool 40%. And then for City and Arsenal, I'm going to just set them at 30. But this is very much dependent on a week-to-week basis.
Well, most definitely. Yeah, I like that disclaimer that was put in the end. 40-30-30? Yeah.
Yep.
It sounds about right, doesn't it, Jan?
We all want to crack a done joke, no, won't we? But I think that Nathan has done that well. I think there is advantage Liverpool at the moment, and this thing that City can suddenly win all the remaining games, I don't think they're there. They were there last year, but I'm not sure that they are there at the moment.
It's going to be brilliant, whatever happens, isn't it? Well, unless you support one of the teams that don't win. But there we are. just a reminder then, Extra Time will be with you later on. Nadim and Jan will both be back to answer some of your questions. Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd's Pie, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Real Madrid will beat Athletic Club 2-0 at the Santiago Bernabeu on Sunday. Vinicius Jr. suspended for the tyres. It was another Brazilian then who would shine, Rodrigo, with both goals as Carlo Ancelotti's side get the victory, which puts them now back to 8 points clear at the top of the table with 8 games remaining. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we, Luis Garcia. Luis, the hopeful, the optimistic Barcelona fans maybe were thinking, right, where between now and the end of the season...
You mean Luis?
Say again?
You mean Luis?
What did I call him? What did I call Luis?
No, you were talking about Barcelona fans.
Oh, I see. And that's all right. So Luis, can you not interrupt when I'm doing links, please? Right, I'm trying to do the show. Jumping in. Barcelona, even the most optimistic Barcelona fans, like yourself, Luis, could have a look at the fixtures between now and the end of the season. And you look at Athletic Club and what they can offer and what they can do on their night. And you thought maybe, just maybe, they could take a point from Real Madrid here. They didn't at all. And Real Madrid are going to win La Liga.
And it's the way it is. And we've been waiting for Girona to arrive and get something, or Villarreal or Osasuna. And in the end, no one managed to arrive to the Bernabeu and put a test on Real Madrid's side. And Real Madrid, it was just cruising, not even saying third gear. They were just waiting to see what the Athletic Club was going to propose. And they just found a goal from nowhere and they just wait. And Athletic Club, they were not doing nothing. In the second half, they put a little bit of pressure, changes by the manager, by Valverde, trying to be more aggressive, to bring more people into the box, because definitely no Sanchez, no Guruzeta were receiving balls. And what we got, it was more space for Real Madrid to get advantage. And we saw once again Rodrigo
showing what it is, a fantastic and in a great moment. And that finish in the second goal proves that he's been an outstanding player during the whole season. So once again, cruising mode for Real Madrid, and I think that is Real Sociedad somewhere there, and a couple more teams could face something or take something from this Real Madrid, but I don't think it's going to happen. So Real Madrid probably is going to win La Liga at the end of the season.
Of course, the Clásico as well, the Santiago Bernabéu between now and the end of the campaign. It's interesting, a lot of talk about how can Mbappe play with Vinicius Junior when he comes, how will that lineup look, Stevie? If you're Rodrigo, what are you thinking in the summer?
I think if you're Rodrigo and you're realistic, you're thinking, am I going to be part of this starting 11?
Yeah.
Which, when you think about what he's been doing this season, it almost seems a little, really? I mean, we talked about it before this game. Whenever he's been called upon, whenever he's really been needed, whenever Vinny's been went out injured or suspended, and he's been asked to take up the baton, he's done it every time, and he's done it again today. So, he deserves to be playing.
But how?
But how? You can't play everybody.
Yeah.
So, that's why Real Madrid are lucky that they've got a guy called Ancelotti in charge. Because if anybody can handle this situation when it comes along next year, he's the man.
It's not only Mbappe, it's Endrick as well, of course, coming to Real Madrid. Luis, you take a look at Rodrigo's position, as good as these performances are, it's difficult to see him playing as many games this next season as he had this campaign.
Yes, of course. We don't have to forget that in the end, Real Madrid plays around 70 games a season, and they're going to need from every one of them. We thought in the beginning that maybe with Jose Lua arriving and Brahim Diaz and Jude Bellingham and Vinicius, they were not going to have a lot of minutes, all of them. And you've seen that every one of them have been needed. Playing every single weekend, I could see that happening. I could see Vinicius Junior, Mbappé and Rodrigo playing at the top three, as we've seen before the BBC, when Cristiano Ronaldo and Karim Benzema and Gareth Bale were there. So in the end, good players, you need all those good players. You want to face every single challenge, every single trophy of the season. And having them, knowing that Jude Bellingham can play in the middle of the park, I think I could see that, because definitely Rodrigo deserves to be in that 11 start the next season, the way that he's been playing in the last 4 or 5 months.
Luis, as always, thank you very much. Much appreciated. We're Atletico Madrid with a chance to move up to fourth in the table then tomorrow away against Villarreal. That game live here on ESPN Plus at 3 p.m. Eastern. And then next Saturday, it's the Copa del Rey final. Athletic Club taking on Mallorca in Seville. That game live and exclusive on ESPN Plus. Our coverage starts at 3:30 Eastern.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's go to the Women's League Cup final today. Arsenal taking on Chelsea. So, after 90 minutes, it's still 0-0. We take it to the 116th minute. 4 minutes to go to look like it was going to be penalties. But in the end, Arsenal get the winner.
Yeah, blasting us here. The ball ends up at her feet eventually. A little ricochet here and there. It's a good, strong shot.
Now, look at this here. Emma Hayes pushing Ida Val, the Arsenal manager, at the end. Not happy with his conduct throughout the game. Arsenal celebrates, lifting the trophy. This is what Emma Hayes had to say about the incident. There's a way to conduct yourself on the touchline. I'm not up for male aggression and fronting up to players. He got a yellow card and should have been sent off. I accept he's a winner, but his behaviour was unacceptable. This is what Ida Val had to say about those comments. I think that saying male aggression is a very irresponsible way of labelling the behaviour that I had. People can listen to what I'm saying and see what I'm doing. It's nothing out of order or out of the ordinary. I'm actually happy with the way I conducted myself, and others need to look at themselves in the mirror and see if they're happy with themselves. They will, of course, be discussing that on the next edition of Football America's. Emma Hayes coming across to be the new US women's manager. Be sure to check that episode out, which drops on Monday. Meanwhile, Easter Monday in England is all about the Championship, the second tier of English football. It is so tight at the top. Leicester, of course, losing on Good Friday means that they drop to third. Ipswich Town sit first, Leeds second, and some huge games which have ramifications as to who will qualify automatically for the Premier League next season. It's Leicester against Norwich, Coventry against Cardiff, Ipswich take on Southampton, a big game there, and Leeds against Hull City. Now, all of these matches are live on ESPN+, a great way to spend Monday. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for joining us. Nader and Jan, back in a moment to answer your questions on Extra Time. Of course, Stevie here as well. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Jan and Nadim, Stevie with me. Do you want to ask Jan your question that you're intrigued about before?
No, I was asking, well, I said to you earlier, Jan, what was you, did you have a nickname when you were in England?
I was Flower Pop or something.
Flower Pop, man.
I got, yeah, something like that. I got a in my name. I got an O in my name, so I was called everything, Stevie. Everything.
Oh, wow. Well, man, so ask that. I don't name him. Did you have a nickname?
Happy.
Yeah, I was called Chief. That started when I was in the Academy at City, and then it followed me throughout my career. Yeah.
That sounds like something you gave yourself.
I was called Superstar, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
And it followed me all my career.
Yeah. I was Dan the Man, right?
Dan the Sultan.
Are they still awake? Did you have any long blinks during the game, Jan?
No, I was actually sitting there thinking of everybody will say it was a boring and dull game. I did, but it was interesting tactically.
No, it wasn't. No, boo.
It was.
Boo. Yeah, no one cares about your tactics or interests.
I would conclude and say I was awake to have a look at the tactical stuff.
Yeah. Nadim, as a former defender, do you appreciate these sort of games more than just, say, someone like me would?
Yeah, I would say so. And I think it's more so to do with the way that both teams are so well drilled. Obviously, the attacking side of things wasn't there today, but collectively, the way they defended, even from the City standpoint, every time like Arsenal were attacking, there were two and three bodies flying towards them to try and limit them. So tactically, it's the third good game that those have had.
But
in reality, it's the third game that will be forgotten about in the history of this season.
That's that. What's the dullest game of football you've ever seen in your life?
Today.
Yeah, today, because that's the only one we can remember. You forget them all very quickly, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got one down.
Oh, was that? Sorry, was that the dullest game of football?
You ready, Dan?
What was the dullest game? Go on, Nadim.
No, Dan. Right, so the dullest game of football happened between QPR and Reading. It was at the Majeski Stadium in 2015, I think it was. And whoever won the game would stay up in the Premier League for another week. So if you lost, you were down, you were relegated. But also, if you drew, you were relegated. So that game, Dan, towards the end of the season, to try and stay alive, finished 0-0. Wow. That was the worst game the Premier League has arguably ever seen.
Wow.
I'll tell you one of the worst games.
What?
The MLS Cup final in 2001.
Were you manager then?
Aye. Oh. Was that
the first, second, third or fourth one you lost?
Last one. It was at Gillette Stadium.
Right.
And it was in October. And it's... the conditions are the worst for playing football. There was a horrible wind.
Okay.
Which every footballer will tell you. They'll take everything. Snow, rain, whatever.
Yeah.
We hate wind. But on top of the wind, the field was rock hard. Mm. And it was the ball was bobbling around.
Oh.
It was horrendous.
And what happened in the game?
Nothing.
Oh.
We lost. We lost an extra time on a golden goal.
Right.
And that was pretty much the only chance in the game. Honestly.
2002, well,
Let me tell you, you won't see it on reruns on ESPN. Put it
no.
Out.
No, that's true. Yeah, because we put a lot of old MLS games out. Here we go. Forget NFL. Let's go back to that. To Stevie, if Arsenal and City face each other in the Champions League semi-finals, can you go the full first leg match without sleeping?
Tactically.
Oh, yeah, tactically, we have masterclass.
You wouldn't want to watch that again. I mean, no. We're talking sensibly about how well Arsenal defended, which they did. And I guess at some stage you have to say, well, it's up to Man City to break them down. But the truth is, you don't want to ever see that again.
No,
thanks.
No, thank you.
But it will be different. It will be different, though, in the semi-final of the Champions League. Because this was a lot of speculations about a title, how many games to go, important that the opposition didn't get 3 points, and so on and so on. It will be different in the Champions League final.
But why would Arsenal go to City and not do anything that they didn't do this time round, if they can then take them back to the Emirates?
Because they have... well, one of the games, they have to play two games, so Stevie will have two games sleeping in. But I think that that will be different in the Champions League, absolutely.
Stevie, do you think Real Madrid has a better shot against Manchester City after today's performance? Not particularly from Real Madrid, it was a comfortable 2-0 win, but I suppose from City's perspective.
Listen, I think when you're playing against the side that you know on the day are just lights out, but when you know they've got some injury problems, you know that they're not quite creating and scoring as many goals as they have done. When you're getting some players back, you've got Militao back. Now, mate, you should have Rudiger and Militao as your centre-backs. That helps you. Mm-hmm. So you look at the positive side, but the bottom line is City are still the favourites to win the game. But you definitely are a little pleased that they've got some struggles.
Nadim, this is a great question. If City doesn't win the Premier League, who would you rather, Liverpool or Arsenal?
What a stupidly toxic question that is, Dan. Look at me trying to get cancelled out here.
I'm only reading what's on my page.
Look at his shoulders on you. Get your shoulders hurt.
Who do I want? I can't, do you know what, Dan? I'll be honest. I've got more friends who are Arsenal fans, and I think the fact they've waited 20 years, that's probably going to mean more to the people in my orbit. So I would lean that way. But, you know, I love Jurgen Klopp, so it's the second best if they do it.
Yeah, but Nadim, don't you want your friends to suffer? That's
correct.
The fun bit, isn't it?
You want to be able to go, ha, ha,
ha. No. Listen, I said it's been 20 years since Arsenal won a league title. There's been enough of that. Don't worry about it. I've had plenty of time to do
well,
just that.
Double down. Double down. It's one of them, isn't it? Yeah. Let's hope it's 25 years in 5 years' time.
What Santa does when it's not Christmas.
I got so many friends, Liverpool friends, that I think I would go the other way. That I would hope that Arsenal win, but I would say because of Martin Ødegaard, Norwegian captain to lift the trophy. I love Klopp as well, you know, but I will see a Norwegian lifting the trophy. That would be fantastic.
You didn't even ask him. This was for Nathan, wasn't it?
Well, it's all right. Jan's
wants to get Odegaard in.
Odegaard, yeah. Well, we've always known he's preferred Odegaard to Haaland.
Yeah.
Simple.
The Flipper Pot man wants to get all his pals in.
Haaland who? Stevie, do you reckon Liverpool can get away with dropping more points?
Of course.
Oh, the glasses.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think mathematically they can because of the goal difference, yeah, right?
Do you want to start going down that road?
Well, no, they can't, because if they draw, Arsenal's got more goals than them. So right. Arsenal would win.
Yes.
So the answer would have to be no.
No, got to win every game. But obviously that's assuming, but then you've got to remember that Arsenal and City have got running.
The thing is, if you're Liverpool, you have to assume they're going to win all the games.
OK.
That's the mindset.
Right.
Not, well, we could drop a couple, because you know they're dropping a couple.
Yeah.
They won't be thinking that way. They'll be thinking, right, bottom line is we win the games, one after the other, we move to the next one, and that's it. That's how the mindset is.
What are you laughing at, Jan?
I'm just thinking, there is a reason why not many footballers won the Nobel Prize, let's put it that way, when we're doing the mathematics that we're doing.
we talked about Nadim being the only one with any sort of mathematical qualifications on the panel when we asked him to do percentages. Shaka has messaged me to say he got a B in accounting when he was 16, so we just apologies to Shaka.
He's a goalkeeper.
I'm surprised Shaka's awake at this time of day. It's normally nap time. Meanwhile, Jan, do you think Leverkusen can go unbeaten this season? And if so, how do you rank this achievement?
Wow, yeah, they could be the invincibles. I watched the game on Saturday. I mean, we have seen that before. Andrich of all goal scorers. And then Patrick Schick loves to score a late winner. I think it's 39 games now. And we are showing at ESPN, they're playing Düsseldorf, second league, in the semi-final of the cup. Then they're meeting the winner of Saarbrücken, Kaiserslautern. So that is two more games, one more title. Then they're playing in the Europa League. They can do it there. But no, I don't think that. I think they will lose a game. I think that thing they did against Saturday against Hoffenheim, I think someday that will dry up. They can't keep on doing that for a whole season, can they? Scoring injury goals and winners all the time.
Has anyone, sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. Has anyone done it before in Germany?
God, now you put me on the spot. I don't think they've gone through all. No invincibles in German football, I think.
Wow.
But you put me on the spot there.
Yes, I did put you on the spot. I also apologise for it. So therefore, everyone who writes you. Jan, I thought of you because I saw a clip of somebody saying that Xabi Alonso bottled it by not going to Liverpool or Bayern Munich, which for some reason you came straight into my mind.
Yeah, because it was an old... English moderator who said that, Richard Keys. So I texted him and I said, he said he was going to Liverpool. I texted Richard and said, no, he's not. This is 3 days before the decision. And he said, let's see which one has the best source. And I said, yeah, let's do that. So let's put it this way. On Friday, I'm sending another message.
Oh, there we go. Jan, you pick a lot of fights with people for such a nice guy.
I love good fights with good friends.
Well, maybe you need to... Anyway, right. Final question is for Nadim. What's your prediction on who's coming up to the Premier League? It's getting very tight in the race for promotion. Ooh. Of course, you can see those games live on ESPN Plus tomorrow. Leicester are cruising, but they have just gone off the boil at completely the wrong end of the season. They currently sit third, 2 points adrift of Ipswich, Leeds sitting in second.
I'm going to go for Leicester City and Ipswich. I think Leicester can sort of stop the really bad run that they're on at this moment in time and just about get over the line. And I think Ipswich themselves, I think they're just going to be hanging on in there. And what a throwback it'll be to see them in the Premier League as well. But listen, because I'm talking about predictions, I'm nailed on going to be wrong anyway. So take that with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, it's incredible the fact that you had Leicester at the top for so long, Jan. Yet this is the Championship, isn't it?
But some seasons ago, they said that Tottenham Hotspurs is the only club that can be third in a two-horse race. And I think Leicester will be the same this season, because you thought they will run away with it and be in Premier League at Christmas. And now they could end up out without that. I will go Leicester and Leeds.
Jan, I've got a message here saying you were right. Bayern had one loss in 1987 and 2013. No one has gone unbeaten in the Bundesliga season. Congratulations.
Save my name. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Unlike that time you said Salah was going to Saudi Arabia. Remember that, eh? Hey, that's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. ESPN FC will be back tomorrow for more reflections on what we saw this weekend. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at LectricEbikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.